Hi everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Welcome everyone to our newest episode, and we want to just thank you all for stopping by. We know you got busy lives and you chose to go ahead and tune in to us, so we appreciate it. Don't forget to check out the previous episodes if you have not, of our Final Fantasy IX series, that is, and then also pop it on our website, finalstopforfinalfantasytalks.com. We've been updating it, as always, as we say that each time, but we've been updating. We got new blog posts. Go in there, check it out, man. Lots of good stuff. Same with social media. Follow us. We've been posting lots of pictures, and it's just a great conversation. Yeah. So let me go ahead and recap, because, you know, as I did last episode, I kind of play up to where we left off in 9, and I tried to do all the things we talk about. So just kind of my takeaways from it. Another reason why to go to our website is please go to our website and check out that blog post I did, because in it you're going to find a lovely Senna picture. My takeaway from it is that, he's got that big old belly. Dude, the shirt, like 5% down his torso. I don't, why did they even put a shirt on him? I don't understand.
Oh, man. I don't know, dude. The characters in this game are just so weird and so funny.
They are.
I guess that's kind of what gives us its charm.
It does. And, well, you know, we're kind of glad he has that because he just gives so many laughs. It'd be a shame if he wasn't who he was. A couple other things. So, man, we botched it last episode. When you're up on the roofs with Vivi, they aren't chimneys, dude. They're bird nests.
Oh, is that what it is?
It is. But not that that really makes more sense, because why would there be a bunch of money in bird nests? You know, like when stealing coins? So
attracted to the shine of it or something like that, I guess.
Yeah. So if you're pulling your hair out, getting upset with us because we're calling them chimneys, we apologize. They are bird nests. And then the last one, I had to get down specifically what Ruby did say, because, man, it's so hilarious. You know, when Garnet runs by, she spins, "What in darnation?" And then she says, "What kind of cattle you chasing?" it's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a shame that she's not included more. Other than, the little, letters that you get through Mogman every once in a while, she's just kind of, left in Alexandria, and then that's it, you know?
And we'll talk about her when she comes up, because, you know, as we discussed, she is a different character, unlike any other in the game. So, anyways, let's get on. So, we are in the Evil Forest. Obviously, they crashed, and we're moving forward. So, first thing I have to say is, as I always like to comment, the music, right? So, nice Evil Forest has... Dude, it has a nice, relaxing song to it, you know? It's like,
yeah.
And, you know, for how creepy it is, because it's incredibly creepy forest.
It is, yeah. But I like the OST in this place, too. It's really nice. And I believe they reuse it at a later point in the game, too, which is kind of nice. Because other than Evil Forest and, you know, when they use it later, it's the only time you get to hear this song.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, it's pretty basic going forward here. There's just the Fane and Goblin enemy encounters. Really easy battles. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the very beginning of the game, so, you know, they're trying to ease in after... They at least gave you some variety after all you've fought up to this point. It's pretty much been Steiner in Baku over and over and over again. So they give you that, you know, and then what? I mean, it's a pretty self-explanatory place. You know, it's pretty linear. Obviously, you're going forward. There's no real path offs or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Fang and Goblins, they're pretty much... one or two hit kills, depending on if you're using the Mage Masher or the Dagger. They don't have anything special to use. They just use basic attacks. And I think both of them just have potions for steel. And I can't remember if we covered the first boss, but, you know, you get to Prison Cage.
Right.
And you fight him two times. One time with... I don't want to get the order messed up here. But one time's with Dagger, and then the other time is with Vivi.
We kind of touched on that last episode, so it is. I literally actually just did that. The first time is when Garnet's in the cage, and it's just Zidane and Steiner. That's when Zidane goes into trance, and you fight it, but then it goes away. Then the second one, it swallows Vivi, and then, you know, you're fighting to get Vivi out while Vivi's, you know, casting magic. Funny thing about that, you know, and I think we talked about this, you know, it's so easy to kill them on accident. I wasn't paying attention, man, and I accidentally attacked Vivi, killed him. Like, oh my gosh, I had to do it over.
Well, I mean, he's got like 48 HP, right? He's level 1 at this point, I think. Yeah. So he's super weak.
He is. You know, it's funny because I think back to when we first started playing 9 and we'd go through, we would actually sit in that first area and fight Fanes and Goblins and try to level up a little bit. And it's funny because now I'm like, man, get me out of here. These guys aren't worth my time. You know, it's just let's get a move on.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you get the first level like right off the bat, and then it's kind of a grind to get up to level 5 with these guys because they give you so little experience.
Yeah.
But, you know, level 2, level 3, you already get a pretty big boost from that.
Right. Something else we want to talk about, I mean, we'll probably talk about it as we go through, but something that's quite interesting in 9 that I just, you know, off the top of my head, I can't really think of anything that is quite like it in any other Final Fantasy that I've played, 7 on, and that's the sword magic, right, that Steiner has with Vivi. And what I mean by that, you know, like that nothing else in other Final Fantasy, it's like it's a combo between two characters. You know, you have to have Vivi in the party in order to use it, and one Steiner as well. And it's just, it's pretty sweet. I like it.
Yeah, I can't think, not off the top of my head, of another one where it's so, you know, character dependent, where you have to have them in the same party. It's really powerful. I think most people would agree that Magic Sword is amazing.
It's crazy good.
Yeah, and for most of the game, well, I say most of the game, but for a lot of the story, you know, you don't have that option. Not to spoil or anything, but basically they get split up and all that stuff.
Yeah, so, all over the place.
Yeah, unfortunately, you kind of, you get it early on, and then you have to wait way later in the game to start enjoying it again, but it's just so overpowered, and I think it's one of the reasons why Vivi and Steiner are just two of my favorite characters to have in the party.
Yeah, it's kind of like almost go-tos with it, you know. And of course, you know, it does cost quite a bit of MP, and especially early on if you just spam it all the time. But yeah, if you definitely need that quick burst and you got them in the party, it's always a nice go-to.
Yep. So, yeah, at this point, you know, you're leaving the Prima Vista. You've already fought Baku for the 50th time at this point.
Yeah.
And left the group and everything. And there was just this kind of cool part that when I first started playing the game, or when I played it, you know, the first couple of times, I never knew about this and I never made this connection that as you're leaving the Evil Forest and you've got Steiner and Vivi, there's a little area that you can go to the left, I think on the second or third screen out of the Prima Vista. And you get to this river and then Zidane says something like, I wonder where this river goes. And it's kind of interesting because later on, you finally understand what he was kind of saying with that, where you know, and we'll get to this later. I don't want to spoil too much.
Right, yeah, no spoilers. Basically,
yeah, as, you know, they're trying to escape and stuff. But
of course.
Just kind of like an interesting little missable piece of text there.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we were talking about too, and that was exactly it. You know, I was kind of like, I've never really thought about that. First of all, I don't even remember the whole river thing, you know, and ways of going left and finding it. I usually just kind of power on through to the main boss. But yeah, like, it's just one of those things that it's just such a small detail that you don't really pay attention. You know, it's like, okay, whatever, dude. Who cares where the river goes? And then not only that, but then you have to kind of remember that later on and make that connection, like you said. And of course, we will get to the end of that. But it's kind of cool. I like that. It's just full of little things like that, isn't it?
I love those details because after you played the game and you go back and you replay it, it kind of adds that value of, you know what's going to happen, and then you can kind of see all of these little details that they put in there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so pretty cool. We like it. Just a small little nugget of info, which, you know, again, we'll make the connection later when we get to the next part. But then you go on, you find a nice little mog, little thing for this prior. Obviously, I mean, you know, again, nothing too crazy to fight to this point, but definitely save your potions if you do take damage. Save your potions because, you know what, we got the Mog and the Spring, which the Spring heals you. And so I just threw that out there because something I kind of forgot about was, you know, I was like, oh, let me use my couple potions. It's not like it's crazy hard. And especially, man, if you did really well at the sword fight, you're rolling in the money. You can just be buying as many potions as you want. But, you know, kind of why use them when you have the Spring?
Exactly. I love how just spring water can heal you.
Delicious.
I know, right? It's like clean water or something. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, moving forward. I mean, we're going to kind of be jamming through the forest. I mean, there's not much to talk about in the forest, but... No. So we got the, what is the, Raffle?
Raffalesia, I think. It's kind of like a newer enemy. So, you know, we talked about Fang and the Goblin at the first section. So once you get past the spring, you get this new enemy. And to be honest with you, this guy's pretty annoying because he can use pollen, which inflicts darkness on all of your party members.
Yeah.
That can be quite a problem for Zidane and Steiner.
Absolutely.
Specifically. But yeah, he's pretty easy. I think he dies in like two hits, but just that annoying pollen move gets introduced at this point.
Well, and something that I think probably most people forget about if they're returning to 9, as well as some of the other earlier ones, right, that status effects carry with you. And so,
yeah.
You know, if you just play the later ones all the time, they don't. And so you kind of just, you know, you get into that and then you come back to 9. And that was kind of the same thing for me, you know, right off the bat was like, you know, I got out of battle. I'm like, what the heck, man? Why is darkness on there? And then I'm like, ooh, you know. And so that can be a problem, right? Because that's eye drops you need and all that. And so,
I mean, yeah. I usually don't have that many items at this point. So it's like you want to try and conserve all those eye drops and... Obviously, not using it on Vivi and stuff is one way to do it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little tidbit there. And then, of course, you got the plant brain boss, which... Fairly straightforward, right? I mean, it's kind of the first boss, you know? I mean, you had Baku and Steiner, but, you know, it was kind of easy. So we got the first actual boss.
Yeah.
It's not bad. What... Can you... Now, I'm trying to remember. Garnet... You can control Garnet, right? So you can heal yourself, or do you actually have to, like...
No, so...
That's right.
You don't have Garnet at this point. She's still unconscious.
That's right. It's not kind of like a VV fight, right, with the cage where right. He can use magic.
Right. So that's why this is actually... He's kind of a tough one because he's got pollen again. So they've got that annoying, you know, darkness on everybody right. For a lot of it. He's got thunder. He can hit individual characters and everybody. And his tentacle slap move. But the thunder, man... Especially on certain characters, I remember specifically if he uses it on Zidane, it'll do like 90 damage or something like that. So
yeah, it does a big old chunk.
It's significant, man, at this point when your characters have like maybe 150, 180 HP.
Exactly. Well, that's when you kind of like, you either roll the dice and don't use a potion on one action, or you go ahead and just immediately potion. And so, no, it's pretty, I mean, he's got the wide variety of moves, and then, of course, Blink joins in, and that's a very nice relief that you weren't really expecting if you haven't played, right? And so that's kind of cool, helps out with the damage just because Blink is totally awesome, and he's like, oh, you know, I'll just crank out, like, 80 damage hits, no problem.
Well, that's the thing. He brings with him an Iron Sword at this point, which, if you didn't steal that from, what was it, the last fight with Baku... That's a really
that's
powerful
right. Yep.
sword. That's why he's doing like 80 damage. And one other thing, and we'll do this with all of the bosses because I just think the steals are really important in this.
Of course.
His rare steal is the Iron Helm, 25% chance, and that's actually a pretty significant item at this point because you get an early shot at the level up ability for Steiner.
Yep. So. You killed your first boss, here we go, and somehow the forest goes, well, I guess it is a plant brain, so if we're just imagining it's the forest brain in that aspect, you know, I guess that would spell trouble for the whole forest. Yeah. And so you got the big old nice little forest scenes, right, with the running and the the little red-haired plants or whatever the heck they are, you know, and just something I put a note in because I just noticed it. You know, obviously the remastered versions, they updated the character models and all that. And it actually looks really good. You know, I think that's the only reason why I can even replay some of these super old games. But, you know, of course they couldn't really redo the movies, you know, and the cinematics. And, dude, I play it on a big old TV and some of them just look so bad. This one in particular, especially when it, like, has the view where... All of them are kind of conjoining to that one path and then running forward. You just can't tell what's what. You know, all you see is a bunch of red and blurs, and it's just like, oh my gosh, that looks so terrible.
Well, yeah, and the background kind of loses all of its detail as well, which is really funny.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, because they couldn't really put all that detail in there. And one other thing I thought was so funny about this FMV, can we just acknowledge the fact that Vivi was sprinting faster than Zidane?
Oh, yeah.
Why was he?
The kid who trips.
They're all passing him. Yeah, they're all running faster than him, and he's, like, sprinting as fast as he can, but Vivi's got these little tiny legs, and he's past him. Somehow.
Oh, yeah, like I just said, the kid that trips literally every other step is now, like, an Olympic sprinter going for it.
Usain Bolt.
Yeah, dude, it's, you know, I laugh at that each time, but I'm glad you brought that up, because
yeah,
that is hysterical.
Right, it doesn't make any sense at all, and, you know, Zidane's running as fast as he can, and then Blanc basically saves him, like, pushes him out of the way,
right,
and gets trapped in the claws or whatever.
Yeah, and throws the map that is apparently made out of solid marble with the distance that it's thrown. Like, dude, roll up a piece of paper, guys. Okay, now, granted, this is parchment, so this is definitely thicker stuff than the map back then. But roll up a couple pieces of paper and throw it. Let's see if you can chuck that thing a good 50 yards like Blanc did. And not only that, it bounces
Seriously.
Off the ground and, you know.
he straight up threw a Hail Mary right there.
Yeah,
guys, that guy's got an arm on him.
Yeah, he does. It's hilarious. And so, yeah, you know what? They make it out. Blank's there. Something that you wrote down was, why didn't they just use a soft on him? And,
you know, yeah, like, just use a soft, right? Just walk back in. I mean, because I find it funny, too, you can also see they, you know, as part of the FMV, you can kind of see, like, Blanc is there petrified. He's still being, like, held by the little
pincers,
spider guys.
Yeah.
Right. And there's nothing else, like, there's no vines or anything there. You could just walk in. But for some reason, in those scenes following, you can see that, like, the entrance to the evil forest is literally, like, just enclosed, like a solid wall of vines that are petrified. Why does that happen? I mean, I love how the game always has to do these kind of, like, invisible plot walls that you can't just walk back in there. You can't use a normal soft, you know, all of these different things.
Well, yeah, you can't just walk 10 feet down where there's a gap between the trees, you know, and it's like,
exactly.
Oh, I'll just go right in. Well, and the fact that soft is for petrify, and then it works, but, like, you know, no, this one needs to be super, you know?
and it's
just interesting that, yeah, it's like, you know, killing that boss caused the forest to petrify, apparently, like, as if it's like the lifeblood or something.
Yeah, and I looked that up too, and it's that's pretty much what it is. I mean, there's no other explanation for it. It's just basically killing that guy. He was apparently, like, the master of the forest or something like that. So you kill him and everything goes haywire and then it gets petrified randomly.
Yeah. Pretty hilarious. But, you know, here we are. We made it through our first little zone. We're finally out on our own and we're going to just move on to bold move. So we'll put that on pause. We'll go into bold move and, you know, we'll have some fun times with that. So I'll go ahead and start us off with bold move this time. Oh, you know, I have a list of them, and it's always hard to take it out, but I think this week, just keeping it with Final Fantasy IX here, my bold move goes to Aiko, and for her just continuous one-line hitting on Zidane all the time. Dude, because you find out in the dossier that Aiko is 6 years old, and she is coming up with these, like, just total hits, man. They're just like, you think Zidane is the lady killer at this point, man. Good thing Aiko is in Zidane, because, whew, man, this game would have ended up way differently. But bold move, man. My favorite one I know we've talked about is, you know, when they're in the Ifa tree and she's like, I was watching the reflection off your eyes. It's like a six-year-old saying that, man. It's hilarious.
I know. It's so interesting, that whole dynamic. And then, you know, there's parts in the story where she's just like, it's not just Zidane, or, you know, both Dagger and Zidane are hopeless and slow.
Yeah.
They can catch on to each other and all this kind of stuff. So it's really funny.
It's
She's
hysterical.
Kind of like more mature in that way almost, you know,
yeah,
she's been
six
alone
years
for
old.
So long. Yeah. All right, and for mine, going to Final Fantasy VIII. So if everybody remembers, during the Balam and Galbadia Gardens clash,
yep.
when you have to kind of like select your list of priorities of what you want to do, you know, attack, sure. defense, all this stuff. Bold move for telling the cafeteria team to collect all the hot dogs and store everything in the secret shelter. I just love how he says, don't leave anything for the enemy.
Don't leave anything. The hot dogs. It's like that's hot all dogs. That's served at that garden.
I love, like, in Final Fantasy VIII, you know, the hot dogs is like this running joke that you never, ever get to get the hot dogs. They're always sold out.
Yeah, always.
It's hilarious.
That is pretty good. And yeah, like, we're about to enter war, and let's talk about hot dogs. Yeah, pretty bold. Pretty bold.
Well, it's like your first selection, too, okay? Cafeteria team.
Yeah, screw the kids. Get the hot dogs.
Just get the food, man.
Yeah. So, pretty great ones this time. Those were our bold moves, and let's see what happens next after the Evil Forest. So they get to, like, what, the campsite, right? And it's just, it's always just so much fun, and then they always have the jokes on Steiner, of course, and, you know, something that that you wrote down that I actually thought was really hilarious was, you know, they go through their... whatever they're talking about, it's whatever. And then they're like, let's go to rest. And yeah, they seriously just look up to the sky.
Yep. Oh. They're just sitting around the campfire, and it's like, all right, guys, let's just kind of like look up and daydream, and we're all going to get rest, and our HP is going to be restored.
Just look at it. You know, then, you know, I don't really blame them, because seriously, like, what is the sleeping situation like? Because that tent is small. Like, Vivi would probably be the one. So are they stacking on top of each other? I don't really know, but...
Yeah, seriously. And another really funny thing, if you guys notice, is when you're using the tent, notice the little, like, pom-pom thing at the top is kind of, like, moving, like, snoring or something like that. Like, there's a bunch of snoring inside.
Yeah. And then morning comes. They all take off. What is it? Zidane on his way out smacks Steiner's shoulder. He's like, what, what? And then the Mog... Your friend's already left, Kupo.
It's just like, your friend's already left, Kupo.
Princess, wait, or whatever he says, I don't know, but pretty hilarious, man. They just, like, they literally, dude, they do not care. They have none to give in ways of caring when it comes to Steiner. Or really, most of the party, they'll just leave a man behind. They could care less, you know? Just
it's
walking
like, well,
off.
I woke him up.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly. He did smack his shoulder, but, you know, they just kept on walking. And so you get your first, world view, your first world open world walk. You're quite limited as to where you can go, but you can go back to the Evil Forest, and it's a small little cutscene that I think is missable. I mean, maybe with the airship if you ever went back, but at that point, you know, no big spoilers. But you know, if you don't have to go back, but if you do go back, you know, it says petrified, you know, you can't go in, and then it's a small little cutscene between Garnet and Zidane where, you know, there's sharing some nice moments over blank, you know, and talking about how they're going to save them and find a way.
Yeah, and kind of like what you said. So another interesting thing here is right after you leave, as you've got the Miss Continent sign showing up, you cannot get into any encounters at that point. So it's a nice little sort of opportunity to just go as far as you possibly can without those annoying random encounters.
Yes, because they are quite annoying. Absolutely.
They are, yeah. And all the enemies around here are really just... boring. They don't have a whole heck of a lot to steal. So.
Exactly. I mean, that is the one thing that's kind of unfortunate. Most enemies up to this point, or pretty much all of the random enemies, are just, it's just lackluster. You know, it's kind of like, man, I just don't even really want to fight them right now. You know, it's
exactly, and not a lot of enemy variety either. Just kind of like, I think at this point you're fighting the moose or whatever. You know, the little like, I don't know what they're supposed
like
to be.
Squirrels
or
something.
Squirrels,
I don't
know. Exactly. And the snake enemies.
Yep, so. That's true. But you do have a first little optional location if you so choose. So rather than going pretty much straight across to Ice Caverns, right, pretty much where you're supposed to go, you can instead go north to the North Gate, which I think is pretty hilarious. I don't know, like you get there, they kind of talk about like, you know, the smoke's rising and you see Alexandria's flag, Steiner's like, oh, you know, I don't know, like disrespect or something. But I think it's pretty hilarious because they're like, I would arrest them if I was not escorting the princess. And it's like, dude, based on how you've performed your job so well from what we've seen, you wouldn't be doing any arresting.
Oh, exactly. You know, it's like... Yeah, it's an interesting, again, just I love the way, you know, when you're seeing these for the first time, you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
But you do understand this because it's the Alexandrian war flag, I believe. And that doesn't make any sense to you at this point until you get to later point in the game.
Well, and the North Gate as well, you know, and why you can't get through. And so, that'll be tied in. But something hilarious is because if you go to the actual gate, you'll get a little exclamation point. You click it, you know, and you call out and someone's like, yes. And then it's just hilarious, man, because it's Zidane and his classic thing is like in his, you know, he's thinking in his mind, it's in parentheses, you know, but he's like, it's a chick. And then she says something else, and he's like, what a sexy, husky voice.
Yeah, those two, they don't go together. Husky?
Husky. Sexy and husky voice. This is a 16-year-old saying this, by the way. And then it's just hilarious, because after he says that, he kind of like, he like raises his arms up and kind of throws them side to side, like, yeah, let's get some, you know? And then you can just buy potions.
I know, it's just so funny. Well, because he goes like, oh, I can't do anything. I can't, you know, make a move because I'm with Princess Garden at this point.
Yeah,
yeah. But, yeah, I love that stretch they do. It's like all of the other, you know, old school Final Fantasies at this point, 7, 8, 9, they all have those, like, those little movement things that they do, and they do it throughout the game at different points.
Yep.
It's just really funny. It's the exact same move, though.
It's hilarious. It's like the tough guy stretch, you know, like, oh, yeah.
Exactly. And so after you do that and you stock up on your potions and all that, you can, this is actually the first time that if you go to the forest areas, you can encounter the ragtime mouse.
That's right.
And, so we briefly talked about this in, I think, our mini games or our side quests episode.
Yep, part two.
Right. Basically, it's not anything that you would have to do at this point, but basically, you know, you encounter him and it's got the friendly monster music going instead of the regular battle music, and you have this questionnaire, you select circle or X to the question, true or false, and basically at this point, you can just get 1,000 gil for every correct answer, and if you get it wrong, you get, like, blown out of battle or something.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what's kind of cool, right? If you're trying to just kind of hit them as you go, this is your first opportunity for that. So, unfortunately, that is something to kind of work towards for random battles if you want to hit that, and you just kind of have to fight the boring snakes and moos up to that point.
Yeah, because I think there's 16 questions total.
But yeah, there's quite a bit, so to save yourself from having to go back and just farm them all at the end game, definitely hit that one up. But before we go into Ice Caverns, we're going to go ahead and flop it to Seed Trivia. Alex finally got his rank 5. I say finally, he only had to make 2 attempts, but he finally, after all that time, got his Seed Rank 5. So we're on to Seed Rank 6 test, so let's do it.
Ooh.
I'll go ahead and start us off with question 1. We're going to keep it in Final Fantasy 9. So, man. Chocograph number 4, which is the Healing Shore, that gives you the reef kind of like upgrade.
Okay, Healing Shore, that's true.
Alright. Final Fantasy X, if you want to get Jet Shot, you need to go ahead and get at least 10 of the kind of like, you know, little, you can't do it, kid. I'm the best. You know, like, you got to get at least 10 of those in order to unlock Jet Shot.
Oh, man. Oh, I never even thought about that, actually. That's such a good question. At least 10. I'm going to have to guess on this. I'd say true.
Okay. Final Fantasy VII. Tifa's motor drive weapon gives double AP.
True.
All right, Final Fantasy XII. There are a total of 10 time magic licenses.
False.
Back to Final Fantasy IX. Vivi's regular fire, I guess Blizzard Thunder as well, cost 5 MP.
That's false.
Final Fantasy XIII. Hope's sleeves, so kind of like the top shoulders, are yellow.
Okay, so I'm thinking now. So is that like the sleeve, so like from his shoulder down or the very top of his shoulder?
I mean it kind of goes from like the shoulder to like elbow.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay, so that part is yellow, true.
Okay. Final Fantasy VIII. Quake can be found on island closest to hell.
Oh man. Oh. There's two, isn't there? Like there's island closest to heaven.
Heaven and hell, yeah.
Oh man. Okay, you're gonna get me on that, because I feel like that's a trick question. I'm gonna say true.
Alright. Going back. See, man, I've stopped, like, digging into the strategy, guys, and I've just started, like, thinking about things. So, anyways, Final Fantasy IX, Chocograph number 4, which is the Healing Shore, it does. You open it up, you get to go to, you know, the Chocobo Floating Isle, whatever, for the first time, and yep. You get your nice reef upgrade, so sweet deal. Nice. Final Fantasy X, see, this one was pretty hard because, you know, you kind of just go for it. It's not like you're ever counting. Why would you?
Yeah,
and exactly. So, and I don't even think if you do own the strategy guide, I don't think it says you need to get at least, it's not 10, man. You need to get at least 11 of them. Womp, womp, womp. Yeah, yeah, so close. Man. All right. Tifa's Motor Drive does give double AP. For Final Fantasy XII, there are, in fact, a total of 10 time magic licenses. So, you got two wrong, man. You can only miss one more. Final Fantasy IX, VV's Fire, and all the basic ones, they don't cost 5. They cost 6. Thought I would get you on that one, man. Darn. All right, Final Fantasy XIII. This one I knew was going to be close. They aren't yellow. They're orange.
I got it mixed up.
Yeah, they are orange. All right, you're at your maximum. Let's see for this final question. So, island closest to hell, well, in heaven, not a trick question, because island closest to hell has most of them. Island closest to heaven has all of them. And we're talking all the end game, right? You got Fire Flare, you know, Ultima, not Fire, but Flare, Ultima, all those. Hell is missing two. You cannot get Quake and you cannot get Tornado on hell. Those are only on heaven. So that is wrong as well. Man, you failed rank 6. That's okay.
Oh, those are some tough ones, man.
I've said, I've kind of gone more to less of the book learning stuff and more kind of just like really things you just gotta pay attention to. So, and also, if anyone is interested in these, I was thinking about this today as I was creating these. You know, I'm thinking of these all by myself. You know, I'm not looking online for any of this stuff. So, if you would like me to put this stuff into the blog, just so you can see the questions. If you have friends you want to ask, you know, stuff like this, you know, because it is kind of fun just to see how much people actually remember just of these very passive things. I think I'll just start tossing them in there for the heck of it, you know,
yeah.
Just because it's kind of a fun little thing. So anyways, Alex didn't get it. He'll get it next week, I'm sure, to follow his nice little pattern he's going on. But let's go ahead. Let's finish up what we have today with some Ice Cavern. All right, so the first thing that you notice when you enter this place is that, you know, there's quite a bit of ice around. It's a fitting name to the Ice Cavern. And so moving forward, what do we got? So, you know, you kind of encountered these little walls. First one you select, it really doesn't matter which, but the first one that you do select, you know, Zidane's like, I got an idea. Vivi, can you use your fire? And, you know, they'll melt it, and that's where you get some treasures. I can't quite remember what's in them. I don't think there's anything particularly good. At least, not that stands out in my mind.
Yeah, so most of them are, I think you get one really good item here if you hadn't stolen it from the the prison cage, the plant cage enemy, is a leather wrist, which is pretty nice because that teaches Vivi Blizzard for the first time. You can also get the Mage Masher here if you hadn't stolen that from Baku at the very, very beginning of the game, like literally the very first battle.
Right.
So this is the first time in which you get the Mage Masher, which comes with the Detect ability. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so pretty much nothing new if you've already stolen it, but if you haven't, here you go. Here's a free opportunity to get it. And, you know, we have a note written down. It's just kind of cool because, yeah, it really is the only time in just an open area or a map that you see Vivi using his magic. You know, kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that because I couldn't remember another time in the game where, outside of a FMV or like a video or a cutscene or something. I
Right.
mean, this is kind of like a cutscene, but where he's actually using the magic out of battle, so it's kind of unique for the ice cavern.
Yeah, they kind of put the spotlight on them for a little bit. And then something else you'll notice as you're walking around is the kind of like little wind that's going across, kind of like in a semicircle across the path. And so if you just got lucky and went through all of them without, kind of timing it, then you wouldn't know that it does in fact cause a battle if you run through it.
Yeah, and so you end up getting into a battle with an enemy called, I don't know how to say it,
It's
wired?
probably just
I think it's a
word,
wired.
right? Word.
Word. Word up. Wired or weird or word, whatever, however you want to say it. It's kind of an interesting enemy. Most of the enemies, we didn't talk about the enemies in this place, but you've got the Flans, they pretty
Yeah.
much just use Blizzard. You've got the little, I don't know what they are, like little ice cavern people or whatever that use Blizzard and all that. But these guys are really interesting because they have these quotes. Every time they attack in battle, they say, like, "The wind lays out my path," and "Get out of my way," which is kind
Yeah.
of trying to let you know that you got into this. It's not a completely random battle. You got into it because you ran into the icy wind that you
Yeah.
can see on screen.
Which is apparently them.
Yep.
And so.
Apparently, like, "Get out of my way."
Yeah.
And they don't really have any interesting moves. They just use Blizzard. But one really annoying move that I can remember that they use is HP switching. And that's a pretty mean move when you think about it, because it literally exchanges your HP with them.
Yeah.
So if they're at critical, if they're at like 50 HP, you're going to get dropped to 50 HP. And one just fun fact with this that I had no idea, I always find out something new when I do this research, is that if you happen to have a character with 9,999 HP
Of
at this point in
course.
the game,
Of
which
course.
is, yeah, I mean, who wouldn't?
I just killed about 2 million goblins and got up to
Oh
level
man.
100.
Seriously, can you imagine how crazy that would be? Anyways, so that they can actually attain up to 9,000, the maximum,
Yeah,
nine
that's
nine nine
crazy.
nine, which is just kind of weird. I wonder how people find this stuff out. They must, is it
Game
Game
Sharks or
Shark cheat or
something,
something?
maybe, yeah,
Yeah.
back in the day. Or what? There's also the, there's the commands to, I think, max out your stats too in the remastered. So maybe they, did that and we're like,
Oh.
whoa, that dude just got all my health,
Seriously, imagine that though. That'd be crazy, because then it'd be, I mean, obviously, like, if your stats are max, it's not going to be that difficult.
Right,
But if he
right.
has that much HP, it turns into like just a really
A
difficult
mega
boss at that
boss.
point.
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
if your character's doing the same amount of damage, even though that somehow it had health, yeah, it's like, well, we're not gonna kill this guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
But that's pretty much all there really is in the caverns. There's not much else. Again, it's just kind of the treasures and the winds. Until you get to the Frozen Moogle, in which it's funny because, Vivi, does his little thing, uses fire, and dude, that guy has a mouth on him. He fires off a phrase that is just like, okay, man, maybe we'll just freeze
Yeah.
you back then, you jerk.
I know, seriously. Moist the Moogle.
Moise.
I love that about these games, though. The old school games, they used language that,
As young kids.
Yeah, I just think it's hilarious that they did that, but
Yeah, no, it is pretty hilarious. They're a lot more edgy, is what it was.
definitely.
So at that point, really, what, everyone falls asleep and you get your first kind of first really challenging fight. At least, it can be quite challenging. Why? Because you only have Zidane, and it's first the Black Waltz one, which,
One.
what? So, I mean, not to get too in deep on this, because I think we should get it later, more in depth, is behind the Black Waltzes is what they were created specifically for this by Zorn and Thorn. Spoiler alert, 5 minutes in advance. And I don't know. I look at Black Waltz 1 and I think of Zorn and Thorn. They're like, they're doing their weird phrases and words, but they're like, should we give him ultimate magic? No. Should we give him a machine gun? No. I know what we'll give him. Let's give him a little bell to ring. That's really awesome. He'll ring a little bell, ding, ding,
Yeah.
ding, and
I
then
know. Ding, ding.
a sea lion comes up.
Yeah. I know, and that's literally If it was just Black Waltz 1, this is like literally as easy as fighting a Fawn or something like that. I mean, he uses fire and blizzard, and it's very, very weak magic.
Yeah, he's a cakewalk.
Yeah, he has silk shirt to steal, so the steals aren't really that great.
No.
But yeah, the main thing is his ability to summon Sea Lion. And just another interesting little fun fact for everybody to notice is that the summon animation for the Sea Lion is the same as the Blizzaga spell. Just kind of something I always noticed.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, you summon him in and get that nice spell. And, you know, of course, now the Sea Lion comes in and things do get a little more interesting. You got to kind of be a little careful. I mean, of course, there's plenty of ways to make this battle easy, you know, if you were close to a trance or whatever. But I don't know. I think I usually, and maybe this is even the way you have to do it, but I usually just go fall in on Black Waltz, kill him off, and then just focus on the Sea Lion after that.
That's the best way to do it, because if you try to focus on the Sea Lion, he'll heal the Sea Lion. So you literally...
There you go.
Unless you do something... unless you get Trance and use Tidal Flame or something like that, you're not going to be able to kill the Sea Lion normally with the Black Waltz around, because he heals him for just a lot. I mean, it's more than you can't out damage it pretty much. But yeah, the Sea Lion, he's an interesting enemy because he has that little node right in the middle of his chest that changes color depending on where his HP is at. So for example, it starts off with blue, and then once you drop him to the next threshold, he hits you with just a one-time move that's a pretty strong move, Blizzara. It usually does about 80 damage. And then if you drop him even before that, it turns red and he uses Tsunami. So just kind of some interesting things that they threw into this battle that can catch you off guard, because he essentially gets like double moves. He'll use Blizzara and then he'll get it in, like right after that, he'll use Blizzard or Wing or something.
Yeah, it's pretty much just like an instant attack no matter what.
Yeah. And so it can KO you pretty easily. I know I've gotten game overs at this guy without knowing what I was doing.
Well, yeah, exactly. And so that's what some timing comes in hand. Because, I mean, yeah, Blizzara and Tsunami, I mean, like you said, hitting about 80. That's a lot. Yeah. You know, you definitely have to use a potion right after that for sure.
Yeah, because, I mean, typically at this point, I think I'm level 5 and I have like 220 HP or something like that. So
Yeah, so there you are, right? The first fight, you kill him, everyone wakes up. Well, actually, I guess before everyone wakes up, what it kind of goes up, and that's when, yes, you get a nice little look at Zorn and Thorn, and you're kind of like, what the heck, man? What are you doing?
Yeah, again, just another one of those really cool little details that they throw into the game, where if you haven't played it before, you don't know the connection yet between Black Waltzes. You have no idea what's going on. So the fact that it kind of pans up, and at the top of the waterfall, you see Zorn and Thorn standing up there. So...
Yeah, pretty hilarious.
I just love
hilarious.
The way the game fills it in there. Yeah, it's really cool.
And that's pretty much it for the Ice Cavern. Everyone wakes up and you're on your way, and, you know, it's on to Dali after that, which we will get to in the next episode. I love Dali, man. It's got some hilarious parts to it.
It really does.
Well, they all do, but Dali especially early on. And so that is going to do it for us on this episode. Appreciate you all for hanging out, sticking through, listening. Make sure, again, check out the website, check out the blogs. We also toss in all the music and stuff that we use, so, you know, all the clips for our little shorts and just sometimes little things here and there. Again, I'll also put in the trivia questions as well, kind of give you guys some more info. And don't forget, you can actually comment on those too, so if there's anything you want to toss at us, any info, of course, you can do it on our social medias as well. Get plugged in, right? Get the conversation rolling.
Definitely. If you have any questions that you want Mark to ask me, throw them out there.
Oh, dude, I think I asked some hard questions. Holy cow, I bet you some people would create some real tough ones. But
yeah, it'd be cool to see.
Absolutely. But all right, all. Thank you very much, and we'll catch you next time. I'm Mark.
I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.